bearing his own cross, Jesus went forth to that place which is called Calvary. This is the Calvary Way with Pastor Don McClure. Join Pastor Don as he takes us through the scriptures of the Bible, following that scarlet thread of truth that is the Calvary Way.
Great change since I've been born. Been a great change since I've been born. Been a great change, Lord, since I've been born. Been a great change since I've been born. Things that I used to do, Lord, I don't do no more. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. Things that I used to do, Lord, I don't do no more. Been a great change since I've been born.
Here's Pastor Don in Isaiah chapter 7 and 8.
Road that I used to walk, I don't walk no more. Road that I used to walk, Lord.
But here is Ahaz became king. Instead of even desiring to root it out, he went down and he got drawn into a 20-year-old kid. Wow, this is something. And here the orgy form of living, the sensuality, the pleasure of it, the eroticism of the whole place and just being drawn into it. He was just hook, line, and sinker, pull in. And as a result of it, there is, he had this old life, you know, for himself there. Next thing you know, you can imagine what's happening there to his own life, his marriage, his own children. Is there in the sensuality in this? One of the things that these gods wanted were your children in these idolatrous ways is that you'll offer up your children. They actually did as sacrifices to this great pleasure. And of course, that's one of the things that usually happens to a following generation when one generation has lived for such pleasure, is the next one is usually in one manner or another sacrificed. One manner is or another is offered up and seems to be oftentimes destroyed. But here is all of this is happening. You know, while he's down here in the Valley of Hinnom and he's got all of his pleasures, and he's got all of this going on, there's also the real world. There's also the nation. There's also all these other cities and villages where people live and care and are farming and ranching and herding their flocks, trying to live. And he's called to lead all of this. Well, everything is beginning to fall apart. And he's can hear a man there back in the real world. He's to be king. He's to govern. He's to lead. He's to guide. And everything is crumbling. And everything else is about to go into warfare. And now Syria is about to come down to take them. And as this is just about to happen, here we find Ahaz one day, he's out down checking out the water supply, checking out the aqueduct supply for the battle. They'd already had one, you know, battle coming and there was more yet to come. And here the Lord tells Isaiah, he says, Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to take Shear-Jashub, your son, which means, his name means a remnant shall return. Isaiah, I want you to go down and talk to him. I want you to go down to speak to him, and I want you to tell him, I want you to take with you a remnant shall return. I want you to take your son there, and I want you to tell him that if he'll just trust me, this is nothing for me. This is absolutely nothing for me to conquer and to fix his life and to fix his home and to fix the nation and to build up a wall and to establish them again. And he said, just simply go and tell him that if he will but trust me, that's the only critical thing. It's all going to be that if he will not believe, he will not be established. That's it. And here as he goes down to this man there on one hand, amazingly, in such corrupt living and so far from God, so rebellious, and yet at the same time, at the most critical time of his life, it isn't even he who is looking for God, but it's God who's looking for him and sending him a son, sending him a promise of telling him, hey, if you will trust me, you'll be all right. You'll return. You'll get back. In a crisis like this, at a time like this. And then he tells him, moreover, it says in verse 10 of chapter 7, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in depth or in the height above. Here he says, listen, Ahaz, I know your life. I know where it's been. I know all of this. And he says, but look, if you will but trust, and if you're struggling with trusting me, ask for a sign. Ask for a revelation of me in your life. As for something, let me get an opportunity to put the foot in the door just to show you that I'm there and I'm real and I'm powerful. And if you do, You'll be fine. But it's something there where he said, I will not ask, nor will I test him. Here he turns to Isaiah and Ahaz says, no, I'm really not interested in you and in your God and your religion and even testing him out to see if he might be there. Forget it. Isaiah responds, he says, hear now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Here he looks at them and he says, how sad. Here on one hand, your own life is so weary. Your own life is so empty. Your own life is in such chaos and so much trouble. You've got to be so tired. You've got to be so weary. But now, even as God comes to help you, you want to weary him as well. But even then, in the midst of all this, when you would still think, now certainly it's got to be over, comes one of the most wonderful prophecies of all the Bible. For therefore, it says in verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. Here, one of the greatest and most wonderful prophetic references to Christ in all the Bible is given to a man whose heart is hard, who isn't interesting, who won't even test God, who won't even open up. While his life is in a crisis, he is so sucked into this environment and this pleasure over here that while the real world is crumbling, he still does not know what to do, and yet still God looks at him. And he tells him, there is still yet hope. But then if he doesn't want the hope, as he tells him, Emmanuel, God with you, will be here. That's what the name Emmanuel, God is with us. He says, I tell you, as Isaiah even goes on and he brings his son, a remnant shall return with him. And he pleads with him. He says, don't weary yourself. Stop wearying God. And he says, all right, you won't even ask. You won't even test. He says, well, still, I won't get my foot out of the door without telling you something. Child is going to be born. Emmanuel, born of a virgin, will come. And here as he tells him this, and it is still hard, there still is nothing, as he tells of the promises, he then goes on and he tells him some things about what will happen in his life because of it. In verse 18, it says, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly in the that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt. And for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they will come, and all men will rest in desolate valleys, and in the clefts of rock, and for the thorns in the pastures. On the same day, the Lord will shave with a hired razor those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head of the hair of the legs, and they will remove the beard. In that day, he says, that a man shall be kept alive, a young cow or two sheep. It shall be from the abundance of milk they give that he will eat his curds from the curds of the honey. Everyone will eat who is left in the land. But here is the Lord looks at him and he talks about there, you know, that the thousands of vines there that will be worth a shekels of silver. They'll be down to briars and thorns. He says, listen, he said, I tell you something, Ahaz, if you go on with this thing, the Lord will just whistle. And the fly will come from the farthest parts of the world. He'll land on you. The bee will come and to take and to suck out all the nourishment out of anything that you would try to grow. If you walk away and you turn away from God and away from his hope and away from his life, he says, you'll watch everything around you. He says, furthermore, your head will be shaven, your legs will be shaven, your beard will be shaven. Now that is something in no and they would have victory over his army. If they didn't kill them all, and they did allow them to return, they would usually shave if they did, depending on the degree of humiliation they wanted to bring upon them. Either they may shave half of their head or half of their beard. But if they totally wanted to humiliate, they would absolutely shave their entire body and send them home naked as a little child that had been off to war and lost. They would send them home in absolute humiliation. And here he looks at him, he says, I'll tell you, you used to have herds and you used to have cattle and your sheep and your flock and your vines. He says, everything will go. If you don't know where the real crisis is in your life, Ahaz, and you do, and you are unwilling to fight it where it really is, you will lose everything. And in the process of it, you'll end up absolutely humiliated. Your life will be a humiliation to you and to others. And how graphic. And how sad that here a man created by God and loved by God, obviously. And here he is a king now, an unworthy king and a terrible king and a rebellious king. And he's leading an entire nation into crisis. And the natural person might just look at it and say, don't even talk to him. Just slaughter him. Teach him a lesson. But God will not have it so. Rather than that, the Lord still loves him in the midst of this, in the midst of his terrible living, and in everything crumbling, and in his real world absolutely being shattered all around him. The Lord comes and he sends to him, he says, a remnant can return, we'll be all right. We can live through this. Ask of me and I'll reveal myself. I'll work within your life. I'll strengthen you. I'll destroy your enemies. And here God is pleading with him, begging with him, and the man is hardened. He says, I'm not going to test it. I won't do it. And even then, God still won't give up. And then when even then he doesn't do it, he goes on to say, I tell you, if you do this, the fly will come and torment you. You ever tried to relax there with flies? you can go to the nicest place in the world on a vacation and lay out on the most beautiful beach, but if there's a bunch of flies all over, it's torment. It ruins the whole experience. And here he said, every time that you would rest, you won't find any. You'll rest there in hills and you'll rest there in places that are barren. And he said, you'll lose everything. Is this what you want, Ahaz? Do you want this pleasure? Do you want this world? Do you want this life of rebellion so much is that you are willing to lose everything to keep it? Is that really how you think? And here it is something where in the process, though Ahaz has another little interesting thing that is really in the midst of it. For it tells us in verse 4 of chapter 8, as the Lord speaks to him, he says, before my child shall have knowledge to cry my mother and my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away of Assyria. Now what is actually, while on one hand Ahaz is still in this, he's in this crisis, he's about to lose everything, but there is one little thing he still thinks he has going for him. He's watching Syria, and he's watching these other things. They're about to come down and take him. He's assessing his ability to do battle. But he's got one little thing up his sleeve, and that is he's contemplating hiring Assyria to come and fight with him, to hold them off, to win the battle. He just has to negotiate and cave in a little bit to Assyria. And here the Lord is speaking to him. We'll see more of this in our overview in the evening part of the study. But here, he still on one hand, as desperate and as terrible as he is, he still has one little option, and he decides to take it. As this is lingering in him, there he ends up making an alliance with Syria. And here it is something now as he ended up bringing the Assyrian nation and Assyrian politics into the whole region, and ultimately, by the time this thing was ultimately through, they still lost everything. 120,000 great warriors were destroyed in a day, as it tells us in Chronicles. And he lost his life. Everything finally went. Because all the way down, he is still looking at his options instead of testing the Lord in his life. Instead of just crying out to God, here God comes to him. You know, while everything is so tragic and seemingly still so hopeless in his life, but here is Isaiah comes and he is sent to him with Sher Jasbah, and with a remnant shall return. But he chooses Mahalar has a Shazbaz. Here he chooses hasting the enemy to the booty. Because he refuses to trust God. Here is the refusal comes. The Lord then sends Isaiah to go and he says, you'll have another child. And he says, you will name him the enemy. Hastening is the enemy to the booty. And go and tell him. And on one hand, as you look at this, you can't help but be moved at the great tragedy of it. And yet how many times in our own lives are we like this? Is there not areas in our own lives, in a sense, there to where we have to be taught again and again, seemingly, in our life, where there is something, some little region, some little valley in our life that is bringing chaos and bringing struggle, and it's even threatening the whole of what is real and important and precious? Our whole life, our whole stability, our whole home. And yet there's oftentimes these little pleasures, these little things that are so powerful, and we treat them as if they're nothing. We treat, oh, just come on, we'll get through this. And here God, as he comes, and he tells him, he says, you're going to pick a son, and you're going to live with the son you pick. In a sense there, you're going to live with the name that you choose. And how tragic it is to me, I don't know how many times in life I, you know, watch, whether in the greater way, I mean, some terrible stories that hardly a week seems to pass that I don't hear, or I'm not involved in some terrible breakup of a family. Some tragic thing to where somebody there that oftentimes when you go back and linger and you'll evaluate it and you'll study it, you realize this was an issue that had even gone on in their life for many years. They had this little valley. They had this little area of their life that was unyielded and it absolutely cut off their ability to trust God in every other way. It so blinded them. It became so powerful in them that even when God came and said, I want to love you and I want to help you, I want to restore your whole nation. I want to keep the aqueducts. There won't be a break in the wall. There won't be a division that happens in your kingdom and in your family. And there won't be a severing that has to occur. And God just comes and he says, try me. Test me, please. And we don't. And whether it's in the great way to where we absolutely, you know, I'm sure there's not a person here that hasn't watched this happen in people's lives. None of them planned on it. None of them ever wanted it. But they had no power to stop it by the time it finally came. And you watch them where one day you look at them and the fly is taken over and the bee is taken over. There's pests all over their life. The sweetness is gone. They've been shaved from head to toe. Their life is humiliated. Their identity is being destroyed. There's chaos happening and everything seems to be going. But here, in the midst of it, the most wonderful part to me, and I think that is the greatest thing, is the fact that there can be immoral living. There can be corrupt living. There can be terrible living. There can be things going on there where people can be offering up their children. They can be doing things that are so wrong, and yet still, where is the Lord? You may think, if you're like this, God must hate you. He wants to destroy you. Boy, when God gets his hands on you, and finally he is going to, boy, is he going to get you. Well, you know, the amazing thing is in the process of it, the reality of it, the truth of it is that the Lord is merely sitting there and wanting to send hope, wanting to send to you, he said, you know, a redemption, a love, a goodness. He wants to come there, you know, in your heart and your life and prophesy a greater son to tell you if you'll just come to Christ. If you'll just see there that there will be a child that is born of a virgin, is Emmanuel, God is with you. You can have him with you. You can have him all around you. If you'll just but come. And it just comes down to us choosing. In our life in the greatest way of eternal life or in our daily way. Of just saying, Lord, keep me close to you. Keep me close to you. I don't want anything to destroy my nation. I don't want anything to destroy my kingdom. I don't want anything. And whatever you have given me to rule over, I want to do it well. And I want there to see blessing in it and strength in it and hope in it. Well, the Lord simply looks at you and I and he says, then quit trying your own ways of doing it. Don't go to your own strength. Don't look for Assyria. Don't hire out your ways of solving your marriage problems or your family problems. The Lord says, come to me. Come to me. If you'll but test me. I'll tell you, I wonder how many marriages, how many homes could be absolutely transformed even this week if there would be people that would just simply turn and say, let's test him. Let's open the door to heaven and see if the Lord would help us. I'll tell you, I don't believe there's anything more powerful. Unfortunately, a lot of people say, well, we just need a weekend together. That's it. Let's just go hire Assyria. Let's just go have, we just need a good time. We need to get away. You need a new outfit. That's what it'll do. We'll get you a new outfit. You would like a new piece of jewelry. Everything will be over. We'll just hire it. Instead of where God watches us through our life. In all these ways that we try to solve things, where the Lord is merely just looking and waiting for you to cry, Emmanuel. Waiting for you and I to cry, God, be with me. God, be with me. Be with my home. Be with my business. Be with my family. Be with my friends. Be with my relationships. And I would just say to you and I today that I believe that if in the battles we are all in, and whatever your battle is, we all have them. But if we can just turn and cry, Emmanuel, Jesus, I need your mercy and your love and your grace. You may be as bad as Ahaz. You may be able to say, well, I'm not as bad yet. But for your grace, I probably will be. But will you come and love me? Will you help me? I do open the door. I do want you to work in my life. I do want you to strengthen. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. And as we close today, I just encourage you, wherever it is, in the greatest or in the simplest ways, wherever your valley may be that the troubles may be from, instead of trying to gear up for the battle in your own strength, it's so wonderful, I believe, if you can just put stop in the wonderful way of saying, Lord, help me. And the unbelieving man like Ahaz would think, I don't see God and I don't see how he can help me. Don't you realize I've got a very real enemy here? I've got a very real battle. I've got a very hopeless crisis there. And now just to cry out of some religious fervor to think that will do anything, I don't believe it. In many of us, perhaps today, you've got real trouble in some area of your life or another. And the idea of just simply opening up your heart now and saying, Jesus, please help me. To think that that will relate to something going on down at the aqueduct or down at the office, over at home, to think that that will help. Well, that's exactly what God is asking you and I to do in every way of our life. To seek Him first, and He will add in every other area of life to work. And today as we close, perhaps some of you, the Lord is just tugging, He's just nudging. You think you're unworthy. You think you're terrible. You think, boy, if God knew my sins, well, He does. You think, well, what would He do if He knew it? Exactly what He is doing. Try to get His foot in the door. Send the remnant shall be saved. If you'll trust me, we'll be out of here. Your life will be whole. Rely on me. Father, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you, dear Lord, for your goodness. And as we look at this kind of sobering and serious crisis, Lord, happening in Ahaz's life and to the nation, and realizing, Lord, that as history went on to say, because he would not test you, he failed the test of life. He lost it all. And Lord, I pray that today that you would just work within us. Lord, maybe some of us today, we know we're wrong and we've been away or seeking you and waiting upon you and their battles and their trials, and we are running around trying to find a way to check the supply of water. How long can we go before we lose all of our resources, strength? But Lord, you look at us to say, hey, if you'll trust me, you'll be established. The little firebrands of the enemies, they're just smoking. I can take care of anything. I happen to be God.
This has been The Calvary Way with Pastor Don McClure. Today's message was from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and 8. We're grateful that you've taken the time to listen as Pastor Don teaches from the living Word of God. Calvary Way is the teaching ministry of Pastor Don McClure and his wife Jean, which reaches across the world, proclaiming in fullness God's message to mankind. For further online media resources, books, and ministry information, visit calvaryway.com. Join us back on this station next time for more from Pastor Don McClure and continue on in that most high calling, which is the Calvary Way.
Great change since I've been born. Been a great change since I've been born. Been a great change, Lord, since I've been born. Been a great change since I've been born. Things that I used to do, Lord, I don't do no more. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. Things that I used to do, Lord, I don't do no more. Been a great change since I've been born. Road that I used to walk, I don't walk no more. road that I used to walk, Lord. I don't walk no more. The road that I used to walk, I don't walk no more. Been a great change since I've been born.